Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Kimcha yadyatra bheda vada eva tatparyam bhavishyat taryekam eva brahmagyanena binam gyanena tutasya bheda mayam dukkam viliyate ityapashyad ityeva vakshyat tata shri bhagavad lila dinam vastava tva bhavesati shri shuka vidaya virodas chajayate. Furthermore, if the philosophy of oneness, yeah, are you sure? We skipped 39. Oh, okay, yeah, okay, I skipped ahead one. Okay, sorry. Oh. We did 39? I don't know. Okay, 40. Iti Brahma, 39. No. It did 39. Okay, so why are you telling me 39? 40. Iti Brahma vidyayo paryavasane sati yadeva Brahma Chinmatra twain avidya yogasyatyanta bhavaspadatatvat chudham tadeva tadyogada ashudya jivak punastad eva jiv avidya kalpita mayashrayatvat ishvaras tadeva cha tan maya vishayatvat jiva iti virodas tadavasta eva syat Tatra trishudhayam chiti avidya tadavidya kalpito padau tasyam ishvarakyayam vidyeti tata vidyavatve pi maikatvam itya samanjasa chakalpana syad ityadyanusandheyam. Okay. Such being the complications of the relationship between Brahman and illusion, we should consider the following implications. Okay, let there be some sort of relationship, but see what happens if you let avidya do something to Brahman. Brahman is perfectly pure because it is unalloyed spirit and can in no way be affected by avidya. But avidya affects Brahman nevertheless, and this impurity creates the jiva. Then the personality of Godhead comes into being as the foundation of the illusion of the jiva's own avidya, the illusion the jiva's own avidya produces. And then the jiva is created again to be subjected to that illusion's influence. Such a situation is full of contradictions. It involves these incoherent presumptions that within the pure spiritual entity, avidya enters, that God is an upadhi produced by that avidya, that within God there is vidya, the opposite of avidya, and that although full of vidya, God is still illusory. Okay. So we have the jiva, this is the Mayavadi's way of seeing the process of creation of the jivas. Brahma is pure, but somehow, we can't explain how, avidya has some effect on Brahman, and the result is the jivas. And then the personality of Godhead has to be there to be the foundation of the jiva's illusion. He's the foundation of the jivas. And then the jiva, anyway, it's just going around in circles. Let's see what the Mayavadi's explanation of this is in the commentary. Srila Baladeva Vibhushan says that at this point in the argument, the Mayavadis might offer the following disclaimer. In any case, the theories of division and reflection are not essential to our doctrine. We offered them only as aids for the understanding of less intelligent people. The real explanation of our viewpoint is provided by the theory of one jiva, Eka Jiva Vad. Okay. This Eka Jiva, so Baladeva is clarifying what's this business of the jiva creating God and God creating the jiva. This is an idea that there's only one jiva, not a multitude of jivas. This Eka Jiva Vad was formulated by Madhusudana Saraswati in response to the objections from the Madhvaitacharya Vyastirtha. Sri Vyastirtha, in his great polemic work, Nyayamrita, had remarked that most people assume that the world we see with our own eyes is real. Why then should we think that it is all illusion? Does it come into being only as a hallucination for each person at each moment he looks at it? Madhusudana Saraswati, in his book Advaita Siddhi, responded with the solipsistic idea that indeed there is only one jiva who creates the world as his own illusion, including the illusion that other jivas exist. Because this Eka Jiva Vad says that the glance, drishti, of the one and only jiva brings about the creation, srishti, of the world, it is also called drishti srishti vad. Other Mayavadis who ascribe to this theory in their writings include Mandana Mishra in his Brahma Siddhi, Prakashananda Saraswati in his Vedanta Siddhanta Muktavali, and Amalananda in his Vedanta Kalpataru. These authors found supposed scriptural support for the Eka Jiva Vad in the Kaivalya Upanishad. Okay. I think Madhusudana Saraswati is much later than Mandan Mishra. Mandan Mishra wasn't he a direct disciple of Shankaracharya? Okay, but that means he's way back in the 6th century. Madhusudana Saraswati is a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya. Okay. Well, okay, I don't say that Madhusudana Saraswati was the first. I don't say that, okay. These authors found supposed scriptural support for the Eka Jiva Vad in the Kaivalya Upanishad. Sa eva maya parimohitatma shariram astaya karoti sarvam striyannapanadi vichitra bhogaih sa eva jagrat paritushtam eti. When the one soul is deluded by maya, he assumes a material body and engages in all activities, enjoying women, food, drink, and various other pleasures. But only when he awakens from this delusion is he completely satisfied. It doesn't say Eka here, it says Sa'eva, he only. But very often we see references to the jivas in the singular, and that's just referring to the jati, to the whole class of jivas. You know, we talk about the jiva, it doesn't mean there's only one. I don't know, we can look at the Kaivalya Upanishad, it may be that in the verses before that it's actually said there's only one jiva, I don't know. Anyway, they interpret this way. The Eka Jiva Vadis take this to be support for their view. The Eka Jiva Vad says that the true self is pure living consciousness, chinmatra, and is one without a second. Within himself, Because of avidya, this self imagines material nature, maya, with her three modes of action and all the varieties of existence born from her. Prominent among these displays of maya are the one entity that and the many entities you. We know there's that and you, tatpadartha and tvampadartha. The entity that, the ultimate person, is actually the one jiva himself. The fictional entities you appear in three different varieties, as the inert elements of matter, as other living persons who resemble the jiva himself, and as the one particular person known as the Lord of all others. So we've demoted the Supreme Lord to the Tuam category. Another statement of Shruti seems to corroborate this idea. Jivesha-vabhasena karoti maya cha vidyaya cha swayam eva bhavati. So, through the agency of maya, through the agents of avidya, maya creates the world by manifesting the shadow existence of the jivas and the Supreme Lord. She also remains present in her own manifestation. And this is the Nrsimha Tapani Upanishad, which is definitely bona fide. It's one of the Upanishads that teach pure bhakti. The Mayavadis say that contact with Maya's three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, imposes on the self the illusion that he is the doer and enjoyer. In this way, by becoming active in material enjoyment, the jiva envisions for himself the whole creation. Just as a person asleep creates in his own dreams a great city with a governor, its citizens, and himself as the mastermind of the whole illusion. When the dreamer wakes up, his creation vanishes. In the same way, when the jiva awakes to transcendental knowledge, everything else disappears, leaving him again alone as pure consciousness. Okay. So, Damodar Prabhu, I hope you're not the only jiva. And you fall asleep, and then when you wake up in class, we'll all disappear. Srila Jiva Goswami, in the Anucheda under discussion, shows the inconsistencies inherent in this Eka Jiva theory. Inexplicably, the pure self is supposed to have contracted an association with avidya, which turns him into a limited soul, a jiva. The one jiva imagines a world of illusion and thus becomes himself the foundation, the god, of that imaginary world. The imagined god then uses material nature to entrap the pure self in illusion, recreating the jiva. See, Mayavadi, as far as they're concerned, jiva means conditioned jiva. Jiva is in maya, by nature. He's a mayic entity. As far as Srila Balan, if you purify the jiva of his maya, he won't be jiva anymore. He'll revert back to Brahman, the absolute truth. As far as Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan is concerned, quote, these are simply the incoherent ramblings of fools. Sensible people would never speak like this. What does he say? Oh, this is Baladev Vidyabhushan, okay. We don't have the Sanskrit of it. Not only is the god of this theory a fraud, mayika, indeed the whole theory is simply mayika. There is nothing noble in the strategy of incorporating God consciousness into an impersonal idealism by acknowledging that the Supreme is a person while calling him a product of illusion. In fact, this is offensive to the personality of Godhead and self-destructive for the jivas. His eternal servants, Lord Chaitanya and Mahaprabhu, therefore warned his followers to shun this philosophy. He said, Mayavadi Krishna Aporadi. The Mayavadis are offenders against Krishna. He further said, Jivar Nishtar Lagi Sutra Koile Vyas Mayavadi Bhasha Shunile Hoi Sarvonash. Srila Vyasadeva presented Vedanta philosophy for the deliverance of conditioned souls, But if one hears the Mayavad commentary of Shankaracharya, everything is spoiled. The correct understanding of the words cited by the Ekajivavadis from the Kaivalya Upanishad is that the jivas are non-different from Brahman in the sense that they are completely controlled and maintained by Brahman, and that their existence is fully pervaded by Brahman. The verse was taken out of context from the Nrisinga Tapani Upanishad actually states, for the sake of argument, an erroneous conception of God, the soul and God, concocted by certain logicians. So that's actually in the Nrisinga Tapani, that's the Purvapaksha that's meant to be defeated. Okay. Right. Okay, Mayavad is in real trouble. When we put it together, how avidya, for we were arguing whether avidya can be anything, or what is it? How can there be an avidya that affects Brahman? Is it real? Is it not real? Okay, then they say you can't say it's real or not real. It's inexplicable. Okay, let's assume that somehow it's working, but look what it does. What avidya does to Brahman. It turns him into a jiva that then turns into God and then turns back into a jiva. And that's presuming there's only one jiva, which is hard to understand, to accept, that there's only one jiva. Which one of us is it? Okay, so any comments on this? Yes, Nishadhu.
Is it that Madhusudana Saraswati who has written a commentary on Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah.
Same one.
Yeah, and
he was somehow affiliated to Gaudiya Vaishnavism also.
Yes.
As kind of a...
Yeah, I don't know if he became a proper follower of Lord Chaitanya.
He was kind of.
He wrote some heavy Mayavad books. I don't know if he changed later on or whether he was still a heavy Mayavadi even after associating with the devotees. But the books that are published under his name are hardcore, heavy Mayavad.
Yeah. Could you kindly explain the difference of Vivartavada and Parichedavada, Pratibimbavada from the Ekajivavada? How they, like, what's the main difference between them?
Well, I don't know whether the Ekajivavada is ever combined with the Paricheda or Pratibimbavads. You could, I don't know if anybody did it, use the idea of one jiva to support the Pratibimba version or the Paticheda version. It looks like Vivarta here, but I guess you could also hack an Ekajiva Pratibimba version. I don't know if anybody's done that. Mainly, this is sort of a last-ditch attempt to save a falling theory. You know, to make one of these versions work by adding the assumption that there's only one jiva, it makes things simpler.
So, because it seems to me that Parichedavada, Pratibimbavada, they accept the plurality of the jivas.
Yeah, let's say that this Ekajiva is a novelty that was introduced later on, because it's very radical.
And,
it's very radical. It's completely against our experience to think there's only one living being. Yes.
And could you paraphrase of how do they come to this stand? There is one jiva, like.
How you mean the history of it?
No. Like the line of thought. How do they come to that stand of accepting one jiva? Like what induces
them to do? Well, there's only one absolute truth. We have a big problem with them becoming many. Because each one of them is an independent seat of consciousness, all the jivas. If we just have only one absolute truth, but he changes his clothes, that's okay. You know, the same one absolute truth is still one, but he becomes a jiva, and then he becomes God. He's still one. You know, we avoid the problem of plurality. So that's a reason why the Ekajivavad may be easier to defend. But you see, we see from what what Jiva Goswami points out in the Anuchet still has a lot of absurdities involved. How is that Brahman turning into Jiva, and then Jiva turning into God, and then God creating Jiva, who created him in the first place? But you don't have the problem of because we came up with the one contradiction that if illusion is dispelled by realizing that, you know, the Jiva realizing he's the Supreme, why doesn't the whole material creation go away when one Jiva becomes liberated? With one Jiva's liberation, everything should be finished, but it isn't. But the Ekka Jivavad, it is. All you need is to liberate that one Jiva, because there only is one.
So this could be the main argument against it.
Against the
Jivavad.
That
what you have now just said, that if Jiva liberates, then
that was the argument against having plural jivas, is that liberate, you know, only that one jiva gets liberated. What about the rest of the jivas? You know, if there's liberation, if Maya has been dispelled, how come she's still there? If you destroyed Maya, then there shouldn't be any jivas left. They should all be liberated. They should all merge back into Brahman. Why just one? But the Ekka Jivavad is an attempt to respond to that problem, solve that problem by just letting there be only one Jiva. Then the world's still here because he hasn't become liberated yet. Ram?
Just reminded me something from the Vedanta Sutra. There's the Tarkapada where Shankaracharya, the last of the Karna, is accusing the Bhagavats.
In his commentary?
Yeah.
Yes.
For two things. One, that the Jiva cannot be created, and the second, that it cannot create.
I mean, we're saying the Jiva is not created.
Yes, no, but I'm relating also, referring also to the idea that it cannot create, and
yes.
Then Ramanujacharya is defeating that. But actually, if we take his argument and we use it here, we see that actually they're falling with their own argumentation, because they're saying that the one Jiva is creating forth, or is part of the cause of the illusion and so on. So it's interesting to see how actually when their own arguments can be used in defeat of this theory of the
it can. There's so much inconsistency in the Mayavad explanation of creation that the Vaishnavas find hundreds and hundreds of faults.
Here's one: is it, or whatever liberation you might see that others have, is simply an illusion. That might be
okay.
Because you say this.
So, if that liberation is illusion, then your liberation. Why isn't that illusion too? There is no liberation then. So then you should become a karmic mimamsi. Do rituals and go to heaven, because you're not going to get liberated. Sorry, Gabriel.
So if we accept that when one jiva becomes liberated and everything becomes collapsed, so we have to presume that nobody in whole Shankara's life, Shankara's line, become liberated, including Shankaracharya himself. So because otherwise, if anyone in his life would become liberated, everything would become collapsed. So what is the point of this theory which doesn't bring to liberation to anyone? According to this logic that
if there's any factual liberation, it's the liberation of the one jiva. The make-believe jivas, they're not going to become liberated. They don't exist. You know, so you're not going to have everybody separately get liberated, and then we'll have, you know, a billion different Brahmins. No. There's only one Jiva who's the real thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who he is, but I guess he hasn't gotten liberated yet.
What about
because the illusion is still here, yeah.
But what about Sankaracharya? Is he liberated soul?
Supposed to be.
But why did everything didn't collapse?
Out of his mercy, he's just maintaining it for us. Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't make sense, does it? Okay, so, yeah.
This leads to, like, hedonism, like, or like you say, you're polypsistic, like everything's surrounded about yourself. Everything like is surrounded about you. Everything is surrounded around yourself.
Yes.
Like it leads to that.
To hedonism.
I know. It's,
yeah.
What do you say?
Therefore, the Mayavad Sannyasi says, why plant tulsi? Better plant eggplant. You can make a nice subject out of eggplant.
That's what he said.
Yeah. And another one, you know, promotes eating chickens. And therefore, Bhakti Sarasati called the Ramakrishna mission the Murgi mission. Murgi, chicken.
Yes.
One reason why Lord, according to Padma Purana, Lord Shiva tells his wife, one reason he's supposed to preach the Mayavad philosophy is to promote illicit sex. So there'll be unwanted population in Kali Yuga. Well, he says to promote, to increase the unwanted population. That doesn't happen unless there's illicit sex. Yeah. I don't remember the rest of the words. But Varna Sankara will increase more and more by his preaching the Mayavad. Yes. And then Vishnukanta. Okay, Vishnukanta, we'll go ahead.
Even though there are so many inconsistencies in the theory, so how is it that so many big people like Madana Mishra and Prakash Ananda Saraswati, they are all following this and they are ascribing to this Ekavada theory?
Because they're rascals, they want to be God. They're nonsense. They want to serve the position of God. They don't want to be devotees, they want to be God.
Is this the same as that Prakashananda Saraswati of Chaitanya Charitamrita?
Prakashananda Saraswati, yeah. Same one. One and only. Savarga and then, Damodar then Savarga.
Like it says at the end of the first verse of the first canto, the impersonalist philosophers have given indirect impetus to the abominable mundane sex life because they have overstressed the impersonality of the ultimate truth.
Yes.
Consequently, man without the formation of an actual spiritual form of sex has accepted perverted material sex life as the all in all.
Yes.
I think in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, in this dialogue between Prakashananda Saraswati and Lord Chaitanya, Prakashananda Saraswati, when he became defeated by the arguments of Lord Chaitanya, he admitted that we understand ourselves, that there are so many contradictions in the theory of Shankaracharya, but still we are following because we took initiation in this life.
Yes.
So we can presume that it's like they understand that they are cheated, but they want to keep their position and they cheat others just to be in this position.
Well, Prakashananda Saraswati became surrendered devotee.
Yeah, after that.
And his followers, after being defeated. But before that, before he met Lord Chaitanya, he was already an authority and written many books. Yeah. And he's still known for those books. Mm-hmm. So he's still known as a big Mayavadi because of those books he wrote. Mm-hmm. So we should be careful before we become fully Krishna conscious. If we publish any books, we're going to be held accountable. We're going to be known for what we wrote even before we were perfect.
Unless we write a reputation of all our books which we have written before.
You refute yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, people do that. Yeah. That other book I wrote is nonsense. This is the real book. Yeah. Yes.
About Madana Mishra, of course, you not explicitly said that they come after Madhusudana Saraswati.
It's sort of implied.
But, yeah. Because you say that they ascribe to it. It sounds like...
Yeah. Okay, let me make a note. Well, I say they ascribe to this theory, you know, but it sounds like they come later. But he doesn't, okay. Now, I have to check Baladev, how he said it. I'm just really paraphrasing Baladev and Vibhushan here. I'm going to make a note that it is a problem. Insert comment or review. New comment here. Okay. Hare Krishna. Hold on a second. No, Madhusudana is after. Is after. Okay. Okay, sorry, Gopu.
Just about this chitta is Mayavadi. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, whenever he saw Mayavadi, he would come and just started to always beat him. And why are you cheating people like this?
Oh, yeah. He was rough on Mayavadis. We don't get many Mayavadis in Govardhan. You have to go to Vrindavan if you want to find a Mayavadi. Yes.
And there was one very popular and austere Mayavadi in Tamil Nadu called Chandrasekara Shankaracharya. He was the chief pontiff of the Kanchi Kama Koti Peetam. And there, one of our devotees, Rasaraj Prabhu, he took the book Lord Chaitanya in five features. And he went and discussed with him. He presented to him and he requested him to study, because he was actually a Mayavadi previously, and
yes,
he became a devotee.
Yes.
And so when he gave and discussed with him, after 1 week, that Shankaracharya, he went and met him, it seems. And so he invited Rasaraj Prabhu and discussed with him, and he told him, it seems, that I was greatly impressed by this and by the character of Lord Chaitanya. And he was very much actually attracted by Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. He said, it seems maybe in my next life I can do this. As of now, I am faithfully representing my Purva Acharyas, so I cannot break the tradition and do anything against them.
He said that.
Rasaraj Prabhu recollects these things. It is there in a book.
Well, great. Prabhupada has blessed him.
It seems that Ekajivavad is an argument on Vyasatirtha's objections. Yeah. So the second one you write, or probably Baladeva Devushana, yeah, writes, does it come into being only as a hallucination for each person? At each moment he looks at it. So what exactly he wants to say by this?
I'm sorry, I heard three things at once.
Does it come, the second objection?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And your question about it?
So, could you explain it, paraphrase, because it's not so clear for me when I read it.
You mean at each moment he looks at it?
What's the main thing in that sentence, actually? What's the main?
Well, I understand the first part. I don't understand this last part about each moment.
Is it each moment is the objection, or the each person is the objection, or the...
No, it looks like the hallucination comes into being not only... I can see that you got a problem is that each person is making his own hallucination. Everybody's the only jiva, and he's creating his own hallucination. But why at each moment? That means you have to create a different illusion every moment? Why is that? Mm. I don't know. I think that's confused.
So
and I have to go look and see, go back to the original and see what Baladeva Vibhushan actually said there. Mm-hmm.
So in other words,
why each moment?
Yeah. He does
check Baladeva Vibhushan. Yeah. That's all I can do right now.
In other
now,
words,
yeah.
He argues of... how can there be many illusions? Or
yeah, you know.
The
well, there's supposed to be only one jiva. You know, which one is it? It's all of them. Yeah, there's only one, but each one, everybody's that one jiva.
No, but that one jiva comes later as a response on this.
Does
objection.
It come into being? Let's see. Why then should we think that it is all illusion? That means the world is all illusion.
Yeah.
Does the world come into being only as a hallucination for each person? Well, that's if each person is real. I thought we said that there was only one jiva who's real, the rest of them are just fakes. This is confused, because it seems to be... not the same thing we said before. We said before there's only one jiva, and all the other jivas are make-believe. They're only imaginary.
Because there is only one jiva is what to be said after, because Ekajivavada came as a response on this. Is it?
Oh, this isn't Vyasatirtha's...
Yeah, and the response is Ekajivavada.
Yeah, but I have to clarify. I guess Vyasatirtha is coming back to the assumption that there are separate persons.
There are many persons. Yeah. That's what he writes.
Okay, but it seems how that's addressing directly the Ekajivavada, I don't know.
No, it doesn't address. He just offers, and then later the Madhusudana Saraswati writes.
Okay, I see.
He's not addressing Ekajivavada.
Yeah. Okay. So he's saying forget Ekajivavada. Yeah. You know, we see everyone assumes most people assume the world is real. They see it with their own eyes. Why should we think the world is illusion? Okay, so he's assuming. I see. He's assuming that the realistic point of view that there are many jivas.
Yeah,
that's our experience. Can you explain this? Okay, go ahead.
I think Vyasatirtha, when he's presenting that, he's not again presenting an assumption. He's going back to the common stance from where everyone starts.
Which is,
we have in front of us what we observe.
Yeah.
And then we theorize to explain what we observe.
Yeah.
So now, whether you're a Mayavadi or you're anyone else, we see that everyone observes the world as reality.
Yes.
So the next step is to explain. He's saying, why do you need to go to that explanation when everyone assumes that the world is real? Why should we go to an explanation and say that it's false when there's no reason to do that?
Okay, now what about this last sentence then?
He's further strengthening that same question. First he's asking, why should we do that?
And if we did it...
He's again saying, why should we do that? Right. If we did it, then is that everyone is seeing illusion at every moment?
Yeah.
He's further strengthening the same question. He's taking it back to the point from where they are not really separated as, or nobody is sticking to any theory. He's just saying we are observing, so we need to explain this.
Yes.
I don't think he's presenting another assumption.
Okay. I'm sorry, hold on a second. Show work up. Yeah, but why this statement every moment? Anyway, I'm going to go back to Baladev and see what he said. See if I got it right. At every moment. Why would somebody be creating an illusion at every moment? Why just create it once and for all?
To cover it completely. One is everyone is seeing. That is the question of completeness in the terms of the
yeah, everybody's seeing a real world. But the real world doesn't come into being at every moment. It only has to be created once. It doesn't have to be recreated at every moment. Why say that?
No, but then if you say that what everybody is seeing is illusion, then it means that they don't have an experience of reality at all in what they are seeing. That requires that everyone see illusion at every moment. Because if they see reality at any moment, then they can distinguish that from illusion.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes, that makes sense. But I'm going to go back and make sure I'm doing this as if I'm actually accurately paraphrasing Baladev Vidyabhushan. Let's check it. Yes.
Also, illusion has no real basis, so you cannot create illusion on a permanent basis. Okay, now I've created illusion, it's going to last this time. That illusion.
Well, if illusion
cannot stay, so it has to
constantly be created. Why can't illusion stay? No, it's not real. It's just you're imagining something. Why can't you just keep on imagining it the rest of your life? It doesn't have a basis anyway. It has no substance anyway. It seems like it's harder to maintain something of substance. You got something of substance, you have to feed it, you have to take care of it. But if your pet dog is imaginary, you can keep him forever. So why can't you maintain an illusion forever?
The illusion has to be perpetually regenerated at every moment.
Well, you can say that, but I don't see why that's so.
Because
if an illusion can come into being at all, why can't it just stay?
Because it has no basis on which to stay.
Well, it has no basis to be there at all.
Yes.
But it is there, so why can't it stay there? Sorry. It's okay. Sorry, Gabriel?
So, in this explanation, we have to accept that there are two states of reality, in which one Jiva doesn't observe Maya, and in which it observes Maya. So it means that it can go to his original state for some time and then come back to this influenced state.
Uh-huh. Sorry.
Excuse me.
Are you talking? Are you explaining Vyastirtha or explaining
Vyastirtha? Vyastirtha.
What he's saying.
So we have to accept that there are two states of reality. One in which Jiva is not contaminated by Maya, and another one in which he is contaminated by Maya. So it might be like long term time. For example, in some period of time, this jiva is not contaminated, and then it comes back to a contaminated state. So,
at different times.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know if he has two ways of saying that.
Or maybe we can presume that it's like different lives of living entity.
Maybe I don't think Vyastirtha had that idea. Not in his book. I don't think so, but I don't know. I haven't looked at it. It's a big book. It's got a lot of... Nyayamrita has got a lot of different arguments in it, but I haven't read it. Yes? You have? Okay.
It seems like you gave an example in one class. This argument, just for me, it looks exactly the same, not different. You said in one class, if it's raining, there's water falling on my body, and I'm getting wet, and I'm feeling the cold of... I'm feeling the cold of the water. So, and everyone is doing the same. What reason is there for me to assume that this rain is an illusion? When there is no reason for that, why should I go ahead and make theories to say that it's an illusion? Everyone of us are viewing this world. We are seeing it as real. So what need is there for making a theory? Is it that everyone is... If you make a theory like that, then that means that everyone else is also seeing illusion at every moment.
Everyone's seeing it, and it's not going away. It's here now. It's here 50 years from now. It's still here.
Yeah, and at every moment, it's unceasingly, yeah.
Okay. The illusion is there at every moment, and everybody's seeing it at every moment.
But everybody seeing it is part of the illusion. Because suppose I'm seeing illusion, everybody I see here is nobody, it's just my illusion.
Okay.
So
then you're the one jiva, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Don't fall asleep and they'll wake up again.
So why bring in the perception of others into this discussion when there's actually just one person?
Okay.
That's me.
Yes. That's the Ekajiva stand. That's what they'd like to be able to maintain, is that there's only one person, and that makes things simple. It's a shame it's not true. Okay, shall we move on? Okay, go ahead.
Then there'll be a bigger fight, because there were Christians who said that only the human beings have life. Now there are these Mayavadis saying that there's only one of them, and everyone wants to claim that it's me. And then everyone will fight to say that I'm the actual jiva.
It's funny, because the Christian, they have a similar idea that only human beings have a soul, but everybody else, nature and all that, is just one big soul. Like I was speaking to one of those.
One big soul?
So that the animals, they just have one soul. All the animals...
They have to share one soul.
Yeah, they have, I don't know. It's like a similar theory, it seems.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's all we can do with Ekajiva, bud. Now we move on. Actually, we're done. We're pretty much done with the Mayavadis now. Okay? Going back to the Bhagavatam. Text 41.
If for this, there's also Sarasamvadini for this text.
For 40? 41, okay. Kimcha yadyatra beda vada eva tatparyam abhavishyat tardyekam eva brahma gyanena binam gyanena tutasya beda mayam dukam vilayata ityapashyad ityeva vakshyat tata shri bharavad lila dinam vastavatva bhave sati shri shuka vidaya virodas chajayate. Furthermore, if the philosophy of oneness were in fact the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam would have stated that Vyasadeva saw how, by illusion, Brahman becomes many, and how, by knowledge, the misery of this manifold existence dissolves. Thus, the personality of Godhead's pastimes and other personal features would have no substance in reality, and the convictions of Sri Sukadeva's heart would have been invalid. Okay, now we get back to what Vyasadeva actually saw, what's described in the Bhagavatam, and what Sukadeva believed in. So, if your Mayavad philosophy was the real truth, why doesn't the Bhagavatam describe things in those terms? It should have said that, it should have talked about Vyasadeva seeing Brahman be covered by illusion and appear to become many, and then knowledge dispels this illusion. That's what Vyasadeva should have seen in his trance. And the leelas of the Supreme Lord, therefore, are nothing real, nothing important. And Sukadeva is a renegade. He was a good Mayavadi, but then he got infected by these sentimental ideas about Krishna's pastimes. That's what the Bhagavatam should say, if the Mayavadi theory was correct. Let's read the commentary. Srila Vyasadeva saw in his deep meditation the perpetual truths of Bhagavad Dharma, the jiva's real separate existence, his real eternal subordination to God, and his real predicament in forgetfulness. Nowhere in Vyasa's vision does one find the idea of ultimate oneness. Nor does Srimad Bhagavatam present a sectarian perspective of the truth. It presents the mature fruit of the personal realizations of the compiler of the entire Vedic corpus. In writing Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva had no reason to distort or avoid facts. You know, you could say, well, he's writing this book for the Vaishnavas, the Bhagavatam, and he's just not, you know, he's just leaving out the real stuff, the real philosophy of oneness, because the Vaishnavas don't like to hear it. But Vyasadeva doesn't do that. He doesn't, you know, write deceptively. At least in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedic literature. Where, you can see in the Karmakanda, Vyasadeva might not insist on devotional service for the materialist. They're not ready for it. But that's not really hiding facts. It's just the materialists, all they want to hear about is what yajna to do. So he tells them. He doesn't say that Krishna is not supreme or that there's no liberation. He doesn't say that, just that nobody's ready to hear it at that stage. So Vyasadeva doesn't engage in distorting and avoiding facts. Continuing, were Vyasa's realizations other than as stated, Suta Goswami's account of Srila Vyasadeva's trance might read something like this. Now we're rewriting the Bhagavatam. There exists the Supreme Person. Bewildered by Maya, who is under his control, he becomes the jiva and suffers unwanted consequences. Ridding himself of this entanglement, he liberates himself and realizes again that he is the Supreme. That's how the Bhagavatam should read. Sukadeva had already attained impersonal liberation. Had the Bhagavatam taught impersonalism, what reason would he have to take the trouble to study its lengthy text? He already knew about impersonal liberation. And why would Krishna's personal qualities attract self-realized souls if those qualities were inferior creations of illusion? Now, I have here at the bottom excerpt from Sarvasambhadani, but let's go to the original Sarvasambhadani and see whether there's something more than that. Is this file 13 or 14?
14.
Okay. No, that's it. That's all there is. But I have a commentary here too. Okay. So Sarvasambhadani. Atra Sri Shuka Vidaya Virodas Chaivam. Yadi Bhagavat. Okay, so it was said in the Anuchid that Shuka's heart would be contradicted. And now the Sarvasambhadani elaborates on that, how it's contradicted. Yadi Bhagavato Apya Vidyamayam Eva Vaibhavam Syat. Tada Sri Shukasya Tal Lila Krishnatvam Nasyad. Iti Mule Chayavam Agvato Sri Bhagavat Sandarbe Sushtu Vicharishyati. Here the contradiction to Shuka's heart is as follows. If the personality of Godhead's opulence were also a product of illusion, then Sri Shuka would not have become attracted to the Lord's pastimes. As the original text of the Bhagavatam indicates, he was. Hariya Gunakshita Matir. He was attracted to the pastimes. And as Sri Bhagavat Sandarbha will later elaborately discuss. Bhagavat Sandarbha... The footnotes are mixed up here. 29... I can't see the numbers. The numbers aren't right. Yeah, I'm looking at the wrong footnote. The footnotes in the translation, those numbers are wrong. It's actually number 713. Bhagavat Sandarbha 83. 83rd Anuchet of the Bhagavat Sandarbha discusses how Shukadev was actually attracted to the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Okay, commentary. If, as the Dvaitavadis claim, the only reality is devoid of name, form, and qualities, and if one can achieve liberation only by giving up all connection with duality, then Shukadev, who had no interest in any product of Maya, would never have been attracted to the pastimes of the Lord. For why should he have been attracted by the illusory pastimes of an illusory Supreme Lord? This point is confirmed more than once in Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 7th chapter of the 1st canto, Shonaka asks Sutta why Shukadev, though detached from everything material, became attached to the glories of the personality of Godhead given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sutta answered that when self-realized sages become attracted to the Supreme Lord, this offers proof that the Lord's attractive qualities are not material. And the penultimate chapter of the 12th canto, as cited in Anuchet 29, praises Shukadev for being both absorbed in his own happiness of Brahman realization and attracted by the pleasing, most melodious pastimes of Lord Ajita. Ajita Rutra Lila Akrishna Sara. That sages like Shukadev who have no material interests are keenly interested nonetheless in the personality of Godhead is discussed in length in Anuchet 46 of the Bhagavat Sandarbha, especially in the parts we have numbered 6, 13, and 33. Why do I say 83? And, we got a problem here. Okay, that number doesn't seem to match, and why do I have to give a reference if it's stated in the Anuchet, in the commentary? Hold on. Let's make a note. This may be a mistake. The commentary says 46, not 83. And do we need both references? Okay, any questions, comments? If not, we'll stop. Okay, thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Shri Tattva Sandarbha Ki Jai.